Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. Today on The Voices of Courage, we have B.D. Carmichael, author, teacher, entrepreneur, and founder of Get Radical Ministries, Faith Ministries. B.D., welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Ken. Glad to be back.
It's great to have you, man. B.D. is known for his groundbreaking work helping people discover and overcome the spiritual roots of emotional pain, chronic struggles, anxiety, addiction, and relationship challenges, drawing from years of research, biblical study, and firsthand experience helping thousands of individuals. He develops what he calls the Prayer of Freedom, a practical faith-based process designed to help people experience lasting freedom and healing. Before entering full-time ministry, B.D. built successful businesses and became recognized as a leader in marketing innovation and business growth. Today, he combines that analytical mindset with deep commitment to helping people uncover the spiritual principles that can transform every area of life. Wow, you've done so much, and you know this is the third time we've had you on our show here, B.D., because every time you come here, you give us your words of wisdom and help my audience really transform a lot of their challenges. Today, I really want to focus on anxiety and addiction. There's so many people out there that are really running in circles, looking for fulfillment, looking for peace, looking for joy in their lives, and yet it's flat. And you know what? As a result of that, there's a lot of people chasing, a lot of addictions, whether it's shopping addictions, alcohol, drugs, porn addictions, gaming addictions. There's a lot of that going on in the world today because of this anxiety that people are feeling. It's almost this stress that we all have out there. It's almost people have almost gotten used to the stress, and they feel that stress is almost normal in their lives, and therefore they're out chasing things to make them kind of feel even better, but it's leaving them flat. So I'm really excited to talk to you about this today.
Well, thank you. I'm excited about this because this is not only a passion, but I see so many people get freedom from anxiety and addiction when they just understand the spiritual root behind it. So this should be hopefully a really great call for those who are struggling with that.
Well, when we talk about a spiritual root behind it, what are we really talking about here? Go ahead.
So the simple premise is that health is based on basically three pillars. It's mental, physical, and spiritual. And this is, if you look at, think about this as a stool, our stool being alive. That three-legged stool, when all three legs are strong and in alignment with the way that they're supposed to be in there, then that stool becomes rock solid. But once a leg gets off, especially that third leg, the what I call the spiritual leg, not a religious leg, but it's just a spiritual component of us, then that starts to create stress on the other two legs. And what I'm finding is much of the anxiety and addictions that are out there are actually tied to that third leg. And I know this because I teach at the largest women's addiction recovery center residential program in North America. We house over 500 women. And all of these women are dealing with two primary things, anxiety and addiction. And I'm seeing almost 90% of them get free of that in less than a month, typically in just a week or two, simply by addressing a spiritual root, as opposed to addressing the problem on the outside. So that's what I'm talking about, the spiritual root is something that's misaligned on that third leg. And that's what I thought we'd kind of go into a little bit more conversation.
I really like that. And, my background is just that. I mean, I woke up in 1992 from some addictions. And, the only thing that saved me was the spiritual root. Tapping deeply into a power greater than myself, learning how to meditate, learning how to start to deal with my emotions without any kind of addiction. And, it was a process. And I'm glad you can get it in 30 days. You can get it in 30 days. And then it's a process of learning how to live with yourself and connect with yourself in a deep way. the spiritual root that we're talking about here is really kind of something like I just mentioned, connecting to something greater than ourselves.
Is that Yeah. So the general understanding, and as I started going down this path about 10 years ago, I understood, or at least I assumed, that many of our problems were tied in the spiritual nature of how we're created. But there wasn't much material that you can find talking on that. So I went to just the ancient text of the Bible to see what context it puts within the context of a spiritual misalignment and any sort of consequence in our lives. And it starts to, if you start to dig through the scripture part, you'll see there's a lot of references that when we're out of alignment with how God designed us to live, right? He puts a conscience in our body, in our being, and that is designed to guide us in the way the Creator wants us to operate with other people. When we violate that, we feel guilty, and we don't have to have anyone tell us that we're guilty or that we did wrong. We just feel it in our heart. And that's the conscience. And so when we do things that are out of alignment with that conscience and we start to hold on to it, I'm finding that that's what typically creates a lot of the things in our lives, from chronic pain to chronic mental challenges like anxiety or even bipolar, to many forms of addictions. These are the things that are the consequences of simply holding on to something in our spiritual component of our life that we haven't learned to let go. And by learning how to identify it and let it go, I'm seeing many of those things disappear very quickly.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So our natural state, and I believe this state when we, the first sign that we've connected or realigned with ourselves is a sense of peace.
Yes.
And if what we're doing doesn't bring us a sense of peace, then we're probably out of alignment. And I think that's just an easy way to help people to kind of like identify that. Well, you know, what is the voice? Well, the voice is a voice of peace. It's a voice of calmness within us when we're aligned with our nature. And our nature is being aligned with God, right?
Right.
I mean, that's our nature. That voice is God. And so when people are feeling anxiety, BD, let's talk about some of the anxieties people feel and then how to, like you just said, to release it, to let it go, to be able to realign with that sense of peace and joy in their life.
So anxiety has, anxiety for the most part has a root of fear. Not all of them. Some are truly chemical issues. That's not spiritual. Others have other kind of spiritual roots, but I find that the predominant thing is fear, and it manifests either in persistent anxiety, you're always afraid something's going to happen, panic attacks, night terrors, anything that's kind of a fear base where you get really scared and really afraid. And I'm seeing, it's real interesting, Ken, I'm seeing that some of these things actually come down through a lineage. I would call it a spiritual pattern where, like my wife, her grandmother had panic attacks and anxiety. Her mother had panic attacks and anxiety. And my wife and her sister both had panic attacks and anxiety. And once I started to understand the deeper part of the spiritual component in our lives, I was able to guide my wife into releasing that, whatever it was that was coming down this process. And now she no longer has panic attacks or anxiety. But her sister still does, because she hasn't learned how to release it. But if you take that part out, what I call the generational process, if you have grown up and there was a time when you're always at peace, nothing bothered you, and now you're dealing with anxiety or panic attacks or anything like that, usually you can look back into your life to a point where it began. And that's what happened to this man. I'll call him Scott, just a man that I know from church. And he came up to me and asked if I could help, because he said, "I'm being eaten up by anxiety." And I said, "Well, that's usually pretty easy to get rid of. Tell me about it." He said, "Well, I've had it for over a year. I went to the doctor. The doctor said, 'You've got anxiety. You're going to have it the rest of your life. So let's get you on meds.' And so I've been on meds for months." I said, "Well, it doesn't have to be that way once you understand the root of that." And I said, "On a scale of 0 to 10 right now, where is your intensity level?" He says, "Probably a 4 because I'm doing good right now on the meds." I said, "Well, when did it begin?" He said, "About a year and a half ago. I've had it for about a year and a half." So then I said, understanding that fear a lot of times is the root of that, I said, "Did anything happen a year and a half ago that caused you to become terribly afraid?" And he said, "Yeah, my wife had a breast exam. They found lumps, and I became terribly afraid." And I said, "I think that's the source. So let me dissect what's going on now." The Bible speaks about this creator God, and he says that perfect love casts out fear. So holding on to fear is a misalignment of how we're designed to operate. We know we should let it go and that we should trust this creator to take care of us. But instead, we see these things in our natural realm and we get afraid of it. And I was explaining this to him. One of the passages in the Bible says to release this misalignment. It says, confess these things that are wrong, and then you'll be healed. So I was guiding him in how to release that fear, confess that it was wrong to hold on to fear, because this creator of ours has said, just release these things and trust him. So I did. And in 4 minutes, his anxiety went from a 4 to 0. It's the first time he'd had no anxiety since the date that his wife had that breast exam. And it was so touching to him that he gave me this great big bear hug, and he was actually sobbing, because for him, it was finally release. And this is what I'm talking about. Spiritual roots can create these problems that the scientists don't understand.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think it's interesting. I had someone call me today that is dealing with a narcissist, right? Somebody that's, you know, into that. And you're right, you know? And this person's going, "Well, how do I deal with this? What do I do with this?" You know, because of this narcissistic pattern, you know, it's creating division in the marriage. It's creating division in the business. It's, you know, it's hurting people. How do you deal with people like that with this process? Because narcissism creates a lot of anxiety. And why is somebody a narcissist, right?
Yeah, those are big questions. My understanding in looking at this through an expert mentor of mine, who was saying that narcissism actually has a number of spiritual roots that create the framework of being a narcissist. So how it gets there is a deeper problem. I think the way to deal with it is probably the way I dealt with a friend of mine who sued me. And he sued me for something that was untrue. And we were really good friends. And as we were going through that, I understood the bigger picture. I could see this framework of something in the spiritual component of his life that had been off for many years, not focused on me, but his life was just in turmoil already. So this was just an outcropping of that. So even going through the lawsuit and all the expense, I still loved him. and I held no grudge against him. It was frustrating to deal with, but I could see beyond the problem and see that it wasn't him. It was something on this other side of his misalignment. So if you're dealing with someone who's just totally narcissistic, then you have to deal with them with love, recognizing that it's not really them personally. There's things in that person's life that are so out of whack that has created this narcissism. There's still hope, but it's not really who he is. I don't know if that makes sense, but
that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. It makes a lot of sense. This, in other words, see past the, you know, it's good advice. See past the narcissism.
Yes.
And hold the space of love. And, you know, I would plus that, of course. I would recommend that that person get some kind of a coaching or counseling around, you know, why for themselves, not only why, how to deal with the narcissism, but how that's, you know, how that's showing up spiritually for them to learn to grow, to step into where they need to grow to.
Yes.
For themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. So my bigger book, you know, I wrote Outrageous Peace as an entry level into simple things. Like you'll probably get rid of anxiety and a lot of things like that. Yeah. But my larger book called The Prayer of Freedom really dissects the deeper elements of this that's helping people get free of these heavier issues because they're a little bit more intertwined. But they can definitely get free of. And you just look beyond the problem, recognizing that there's something going on, but it's not that person. It's something beyond that person.
Beyond that. Let me ask you, Beattie, where can people get the book, The Prayer of Freedom?
Yeah. So just add a .com to the title, theprayerfreedom.com. That's the best place to get it.
Yeah.
And I say it this way. There are a lot of books with the titles of prayer and freedom, and some that have even hijacked my title, The Prayer of Freedom. So to get the right one, just go to theprayerfreedom.com. There's a link directly to different booksellers where you can get that.
Okay, that's good. Let's shift over. So we got anxiety. We were talking a little bit about narcissism. I didn't know we were going to go down that path today. Yeah. I'd like you to address from your point of view the spiritual roots of addiction itself.
Yeah.
And what that is. What is that?
So there's actually about three different ways that people become an addict. And the way you become an addict, you have to undo that to let it go. It's sort of like if you have a knot in a shoestring, the only way that you get rid of the knot, you have to untie it the way that it was tied. And addiction, by and large, is created through three different things. Many of the times, it's actually something in the spiritual, I call it the spiritual lineage of your family. Just like with my wife with panic attacks, right? You know, maybe your grandfather or grandmother had addictions and then your parents had addictions and now you've got addictions. So there's something coming down that process. And what's coming down is something in just the way that you're designed. And I don't understand this part. It just kind of seems to be this way. Almost like in your DNA, that there's a proclivity or a likelihood that you're going to get hooked into an addiction. Okay, so you're battling that. But what really happens with addiction is usually you take a first step, and that first step opens a doorway, and that doorway unknowingly is something in that spiritual misalignment that now starts to get out of alignment. It's usually that first step. Whether it's gambling, whether it's drugs, alcohol, pornography, or anything like that, you have to go back to where did that door actually get opened? What's the first step? And sometimes there are people that encourage you to do it. It's like, hey, man, let's go down and let's bet on this game, right? And that you win a little bit. So now you go, oh, this is really good. So then you go bet on the next game. And it's almost as if you're sucked into this. I don't know the mechanism, but if you've ever been there, you know, you win a little bit and then you bet a lot and you lose it all. And so now you're kind of hooked and now you're lost. So now you start betting more to try to get it back. And it's this never-ending cycle. And at a very high level, the way to break it, you got to go back to the beginning of when you first started. That's where the misalignment began. there's another thing that holds people into.
Let me just interrupt here before you go two and three. So the misalignment, when we're talking about the misalignment, give me an example of what the misalignment might be.
Yeah, so in I'll give you the way the Bible describes it, because this is the easiest way to understand. When Creator made us and put a conscience, He created a way for us to live in accordance with how He designed life. And the Bible speaks of a misalignment as the word sin, not something like, oh, I'm so ashamed of, I did something atrocious. Sin, in the way the Bible actually speaks about it, is simply a misalignment from God's standard. It can be just a little bit. It can be really big. Okay. It's just a misalignment, like holding on to anger. You should just let it go.
Yeah.
So when we do something that's not the way we're supposed to, like, getting gain simply by betting money and it's a chance thing. Well, that seems like a little thing, and it is a little to begin with, but it can destroy one's life. And that's why it's a spiritual misalignment. So you're looking for those things that you say, I probably shouldn't have done that. I know I probably shouldn't take it, start smoking because I know it's bad, but my friend encouraged me to. I know I probably shouldn't go online and look at pornography, but it's really fun. Any times you say, I probably shouldn't have done that, but you do it anyway, that's really kind of that misalignment, because your conscience is telling you don't do it, but it's just very subtle, but we do it anyway. That's the misalignment. Is that making sense?
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's exactly what I wanted you to get to.
So yeah.
It's missing the mark, it's that place where you're, like you just said, it can be very subtle. And that's
it's always very subtle.
And I'm wondering about this before we go to two and three. I'm wondering about how this impacts somebody has, let's say, as you mentioned, the spiritual lineage of maybe a dysfunctional family or an alcoholic family, or they have this maybe lower self-esteem. They're not tuning into their own brilliance because nobody's taught them about it. Right.
Right.
So it's maybe easier to misalign with that.
Much easier. And that actually gets us to item number two, which is one of the biggest reasons most addicts can't stop. And the term I like to use, because it kind of describes it, is a word curse. It's like your own words that you believe to be true about yourself start to curse you. Okay. And I'm not talking about, like a voodoo curse. I'm just talking about this thing that, like, growing up, your mom says, watch out, you're going to be, if you keep doing that, if you go drink with your buddies, you're going to be an alcoholic just like your dad. And so now you start hearing this message from the person you love, you're going to be an alcoholic just like your dad. And before long, you begin to believe that. Once you believe it, what happens is, the psychology has shown that what you believe about yourself is the way that you act out. So if you believe that I'm going to be an alcoholic, let me go take a drink anyway. Right. So then as you start to get drunk, or you start to gamble, or you start to do any of these addictive things, you start to see yourself as that person that you don't like. But once you see yourself as an addict to gambling, as an addict to alcohol, then that becomes your identity.
Yeah.
When it's your identity, it's hard to let go of it. So you have to really work extra hard. And that identity is now a misalignment, because that's not how Creator made us, right? The Creator made us to be good and above that, but now our identity is tied to a misalignment.
Well, it's a misalignment. It's also what happens here too is there's a lack of purpose and a sense of hopelessness that can go along with what we're talking about here.
Right. And so let me share what happens at the Addiction Recovery Center. So these women are dealing with lifelong addictions, not so much gambling, but usually drugs, sex, alcohol, and pornography. But they're in there because of drugs and alcohol, usually by court order. And most of them gone through recovery systems multiple times, in and out of jail, and they can't beat it. And one of the things that they're taught to do is to acknowledge that they're an addict. So they'll say, hi, I'm Susie so-and-so, and I am an alcoholic. So right then, they're reaffirming a misalignment. And so it's almost impossible to get rid of that misalignment if you constantly reinforce it. I teach them the simple thing. Hey, don't affirm that you are what you're not wanting to be. Simply affirm that you used to be. I'm Susie so-and-so. I have a problem with alcohol, but I'm beating it, right? And give a positive twist to that. But by taking them through this process of this misalignment and releasing it, I've been able to help them find the source of where that misalignment came in, where they began believing it, and release it from the beginning. This is the key. You have to go back to the beginning of where it started and release it. Once you release it, it's like it loses the power. And once you release these different things, addictions are usually tied to multiple things. Once you release those different things, then the addiction urge, I'm finding, disappears. Mm. Now, when you have no urge, it's a lot easier to resist.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Okay, what's number three?
Number three is being rejected and abandoned, usually at an early age.
Yeah.
So your family, you have this dysfunctional family. They reject you. They abandon you. And what that does is it causes you to go spinning out of control and finding someone who will love you. If your mom and dad don't love you, then usually the people who will are the people that say, hey, here's some drugs. Here's some alcohol. I find this, you know, and now they're encouraging you and directing you into these addictive behaviors because that's the only thing they know either, even. So now you start to get in the wrong crowd. And now you have these open doors, these misalignments that start to get wider and wider because they're out of alignment and now you're following their pattern.
Well, you know, I think a lot, you know, and we read about broken homes, you know, and we've got, what, you know, 50-60% of American homes are now broken homes. You know, it's a big percentage now. And so, you know, I think children sometimes, you know, when that happens, they do feel a sense of that they're not loved or that they've been abandoned by one parent or another. And that definitely impacts the psyche in a very deep way. Yeah. Which could lead to what we're talking about.
Yeah. And so what all these things are, they're very subtle. Just like you mentioned, they're very subtle missing the mark.
Yeah.
But what happens with missing the mark is, like if you ever think about how do you put someone on the moon, you have to get a precise trajectory. If you miss the mark by just 1% right now, you'll miss the moon by so far, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So the farther you go out missing the mark, then the harder it is. Like here's an example for your viewers. I've got a glass of water in my hand, right? And it's very easy to hold up. But if I had to hold it for an hour, then it's putting a lot of stress on my body. If I had to hold it for 2 or 3 days, it's next to impossible to hold it. And so it's just a little bit of misalignment held on for a long time, and it creates extreme stress on that third leg, which then creates these problems in our lives.
Okay. There is, I'd like to talk about our next piece here, which is overwhelm.
Yeah.
There's a lot of folks out there that are overwhelmed right now. And they are, they're not sure what to do. They seem to take on more and more because of the fear of not taking on more and more as something's going to happen.
Yeah.
What's the key for overwhelm? Where do we, how do we address that?
So here's the interesting part. What you're hearing in all of this that I'm speaking on is I'm seeing about 90% of everything we're talking about tied to simply getting back in alignment with those things that we've been out of alignment for. So being overwhelmed is the same thing, right? If you have the three-legged stool and that represents your life, when all legs are solid and strong, you don't get overwhelmed. You don't get out of alignment. You don't get anxious. You don't have addictions because everything is strong. It's only once it starts to get weak in one of those legs that now the stool falls apart. And the falling apart is all of these things happening. Some people respond, they get chronic pain. Others get anxiety. Others become overwhelmed. Others start to get addictions. Others, because they stay out of alignment longer, they start to develop all of this. But the root cause is if you think about in just like human terms or natural terms, in my yard is a beautiful green yard. When a weed comes up, it's always because there's a root underneath the surface causing it. And it doesn't really matter what type of weed it is. It's always the root of a weed. And all of these things have that same thing. And that's why what I find, and this is where Outrageous Peace is kind of a simple primer. The biggest ways that these things happen is in basically about three or four categories. Number one, when I'm out of alignment relationally with someone. Number two, when I've been in a deeper relationship and I get out of alignment with them. Number three is when I start to do things where my heart starts to pound and say, don't do it. This is dark. This is bad. And you still move forward. Then that's a different level of out of alignment. And then the fourth one is just when you do something simple and you know you probably ought not, but you do it anyway. Like that subtle thing, like I probably ought not bet, but let me try it anyway. And what I'm finding with Outrageous Peace, chapter 8 has a very simple process just to go through, sort of like a meditative prayer that just gets these high level things back in alignment real easy. And so whether someone's, now addiction will probably need my bigger book called The Prayer of Freedom because it's dealing with more complicated things, but being overwhelmed, being anxiety, having some chronic pain, like maybe arthritis or things of that sort, those type of things, most of that will disappear within a week or so just simply by going through the Outrageous Peace process because they're usually simple, singular misalignments. That as you go through this, you're asking the Creator, bring to my mind what I need to put back in alignment.
I don't think you can see it on my.
There
my,
you go. Yeah, put in front. Put it down by your chest. There you go. Yeah.
There we go. Okay. Outrageous Peace.
Yes.
That's what we're talking about. I just got my copy the other day.
Great.
So I haven't read it yet, but I will be reading that.
Yeah. Chapter 8 is, so the first seven chapters kind of give you this picture of how we work with this this alignment that God designed us to do. And then chapter 8 is a non-religious meditative kind of prayer that just simply asks this Creator to surface things that you're out of alignment with and how to release it when that surfaces. So it's very simple. It's almost like when you're working on a problem, you can't think it through, so you put it aside and you're taking a shower one day and the answer comes immediately in the shower, completely worked out. That's kind of how this process works, and it's really easy.
Well, you know what? Yeah, I've been sitting here. I got this vision that came through me. It's like we have this seed, which we are the seed, right? The seed is planted in the earth, right? And the seed is the seed of an oak tree, right?
Yeah.
And the oak tree starts to grow, but then there's weeds around the oak tree. And we start to identify with, well, I'm not the oak. I'm really the weed. And the weeds around me, this is who I am. And so the weeds start growing and they get bigger and bigger. We think we are this as opposed to what we really are, which is this powerful child of the Most High that's becoming this oak tree that will shade many and will create abundance for the birds, for the people, for everything because of all the fruit that it's going to give off. But we don't identify with that. How do we get back to the identifying? How do we really know who we are at the core of our essence? Because that's
yeah. This is actually the most amazing. Let me speak for a moment on what I'll call spiritual transformation, because that's what this is what I'm finding. As people go through the process, whether it's Outrageous Peace or the Prayer of Freedom, because they're both the same concept. Outrageous Peace takes you in very gently. The Prayer of Freedom takes you into a deep dive quickly to get rid of bigger problems. But what I'm finding is this. When we start to get back in alignment with this Creator God, it's like we start to recognize how much He loves us and who we are in His eyes. And it starts to change us from the inside out, where we no longer recognize us as a weed, but we now see ourselves as that oak tree like you're talking about. That we begin to get, I like to say, we get the veil off that blocks our vision of who we truly are in Creator God's eyes. And now we can see it more clearly. as I've guided people through this process and they see all these things disappear in their lives, one of my favorite questions to ask is, how does this make you feel spiritually? And they go, oh, I feel so much closer to God. I feel like He's so much closer to me. And the spiritual awakening of really achieving this pursuit of understanding God for who He is and what we mean to Him. It's really powerful.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You know, I've used this analogy. It's like when, when there is, when somebody is diagnosed with a cancer, for instance, a lot of people think that's a really bad diagnosis. And of course, it's not that great. But the good thing about the diagnosis is that you actually know you have cancer. So now you could do something about it.
Yeah.
Before that, you were unaware and it could continue to grow and kill you. Okay. And I think in this time that we live in right now, a lot of us are waking up. There is this new awakening, and we're seeing it in people are waking up to what's happening in their governments, in their communities, in their churches, in themselves are waking up, and we can start to do something about that. But I also sense that there's a lot. The awakening is. It's painful for a lot of people because we have to address these issues that have been going on within ourselves for many, many years. So what I like to say is this, is that look at your life and, disempowering beliefs and wrong identity leaves clues. It just leaves clues. And we're talking about some of those clues with, overwhelm, stress, anxiety, addiction. Those are some of the clues.
Yeah.
That there's something inside of you that has to really shift, change, and develop. And what I love about BD is you're getting down to the root cause because we've got a lot of people treating symptoms, and bless their hearts, we've got a lot of medical community giving you drugs and stuff to treat the symptoms. But if you want to really heal, we have to go to cause. We have to go to cause and not treat the effects of the symptoms. We have to get to the cause. That's what we're talking about here. So this is an important piece. How do we get to, it's like, okay, I've got people listening right now and they're like going, well, yeah, certain things aren't working for me, but I don't really have addictions. I've got, I've got a little overwhelmed going, a little stressed out. But how dangerous is that to just deny that, BD?
What happens, I think, is a lot of times people, it's not so much they deny as much as they don't recognize.
Okay.
Okay.
They, you know, and sometimes, you know, they'll recognize, like I have a friend, he was in constant pain. He had a bulging disc, the doctor said, in his neck. He had pain in his back. He was a klutz. He thought it was because he's tall, that he's constantly tripping and bumping into things. And he thought that was normal. He went through COVID and had long COVID, and he could no longer do heavy exercise. And then as he started to go through this process of releasing these things spiritually, all of those things disappeared. Pain disappeared. The klutziness disappeared. The intrusive thoughts that he kept having disappeared. The lung capacity started to increase. And he didn't realize that all of those had a spiritual root until he did it. So I think a lot of times we simply live with things in life thinking that it's normal. But until you see what's possible, then you'll never really understand how powerful something like that could be.
Well, I think you bring up a really key point. Our bodies are there. A natural state of our body is pain-free. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
And if it's anything outside of that, then there's something going on under the surface that we need to deal with. And I think that's got to be the message out there, because so many people think, well, I just got a backache, you know, or my back's been this way for years. Or, well, it was the car accident that I got in that created, you know, my arm doesn't work the way it used to. Well, okay, I give you that. But at the same time, what I've learned over the years, and I know you have, BD, is we can heal just about anything. Not we. It's that place where we started. It's the higher power, the presence of the divine within us that can heal anything, quite frankly. But we have to be able to understand that it's even there, and then retune back into that presence.
And that's what I'm finding. That's what Outrageous Peace and the Prayer of Freedom both all about, is like that bulging disc was a parachute drop that he landed wrong. But yet it disappeared within days, simply by releasing something he was holding on to that he didn't realize he was holding on to.
You know, it's amazing the power that all of us have right within us to heal mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. It's all there, but you got to take the first step.
Yeah.
First step today for my audience is to go get Outrageous Peace and the Prayer of Freedom, both. And you can get that at the site again, outrageouspeace.com. Is that accurate?
Yeah. So outrageouspeace.com is for the Outrageous Peace book. That's for simple things, you know, just one or two things. For more complex things that you're really struggling with, then I would recommend the Prayer of Freedom. And that would be theprayerofreedom.com.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we only have a few more minutes here, BD. We've covered a lot here.
Yeah, we have.
I don't know if I want to say final, but what are your words of wisdom to someone that's on the fence here thinking, you know, I kind of want to do this, but I'm not sure I'll be able to do this in my own life. You know, it works for a lot of other people, but you know, I'm not this spiritual person, or I'm not this or that. I don't know if this will work for me. What's your words around that?
Really, if here's the way I look at life, if there's something you want, then go for it. Try to resolve it. If you don't think it's possible, but someone suggests that there is a possibility, then if the cost is low, then take them up on it and just test it. You'll never know. And I find a lot of people struggle through things that they've been dealing with for years, and they've simply given up hope that it'll get resolved because they've been doing all of the right things that people tell them to do. Do these exercises, do this mindset, take this drug. And yet it's not hitting the source. And if you're doing all the right things and it's still there, it means they weren't really the right things. They were decent things to put a Band-Aid, maybe, but the right thing is to get rid of the source. And what I'm seeing with both the Prayer of Freedom and Outrageous Peace is a nearly 90% success rate in getting rid of these things in people's lives that they felt there was no hope for. So really check it out. Don't let your doubt stop you. It's an inexpensive book, and you can send it back in 30 days if you don't like it, and it will have cost you nothing. So you have no financial risk. Just take the jump, go get the book, and try it out. You have nothing to lose and a life of freedom if it works for you.
A life of freedom. That's what the promise is.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not Beattie's promise. It's not Ken's promise. It's a promise from your creator.
Yeah.
And it's there for you if you so choose. By the way, if you're listening to this broadcast today, I hope that you will subscribe to us on YouTube. And you can go to, if you're on another broadcast, you can go to youtube.com/@thecouragenetwork to subscribe here. I believe that there are no coincidences in life. If you're here and you're listening to this, there's a reason for that. And if it resonates with you, then please take action. If it you're saying, you know what, I know somebody that this program is going to be for, I've got to pass it on, then please pass it on to them and give us some likes on our social media, because that's how we all grow and change and develop and support one another to have the life that we all deserve, which is filled with joy and happiness and love and overcoming all the obstacles that are put in our way. You know, life isn't easy, but you can overcome anything. And when you do, it gets better and better. That's what I can tell you. All right, Beattie, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me one more time in this discussion. Final thought, real quick.
Final thought, there is hope. The Bible says if you get rid of the misalignment, you will be healed. That's all this is doing, is following God's word to do that. So check it out.
Check it out. All righty. And from my heart to your heart, continue to see the unseeable and know the unknowable and do the impossible. You'll be able to do all that if you continue to watch our shows. Take care. Till next time.